invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 19. I appreciate that special very much. And what a great message for us today. No matter what happens, Jesus is always there. This morning, we're continuing our series, A Greater Witness. And those of you who have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He has given you life everlasting, forgiveness of sins. I mean, we have an eternal home in heaven prepared for us. And if you have received that gift, if you've received Christ, if you know Him, then there's something deep inside of you that wants to share that message with everybody you can. There's something deep down inside of all of us that makes us want to share that message with everybody we can. Amen. And we want to, but sometimes we allow our circumstances, we let our flesh get in the way. So many different excuses we have for not being a witness for Jesus Christ. But today we're going to learn about a great example. We know that Jesus Christ is our example for everything in life. He is our life. He's our example for how to live. And so if we want to learn about how to be a greater witness, then what better place to go than, of course, the Word of God. But let's look at an example this morning of Jesus Christ sharing the way to have eternal life with the young man. And as we get into it today, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, when I was a young man, I got saved when I was 14 years old. And not long after that, we had a pastor come. We had been without a pastor for a long time at my home church there at Landmark in Vianne. And we finally had a young man come and be our pastor. And he was the first person I'd ever been around that shared the gospel with other people. And it was crazy. We would be out. I mean, it didn't matter where we were. He would just ask random people if they'd ever been saved. And it was intimidating. It was scary, but it was awesome. And he was the first pastor I'd ever, we went out the first time. I didn't know what door knocking was. Does everybody in here know what door knocking is? Yeah, we use that phrase door knocking, and it just means that we go from house to house, door to door, and we share the gospel with people. We invite them to church. We look for open doors to share the gospel. We call that door knocking because I don't know why we call that door knocking. We're not really there to knock on doors. We're there to share the gospel. But, man, I got around him, and it was the first time I'd ever done that. And I got to tell you, it's just something that gets in you. You want to share the gospel with other people. It was an awesome thing. And after that, I started to learn a little bit how to share the gospel, how to witness to people. We call that personal evangelism. I got to surrender to the gospel ministry when I was about 17, and I had the opportunity to go to seminary for a little while in Oklahoma City. And one of the classes I took at seminary was called personal evangelism, and it was a series of lessons on how to share the gospel with other people. And you learn about how to do that and how to talk to people. And I've been through a lot of courses since then and studied a lot of stuff on how to share the gospel with other people. I say all that to tell you that all the things I was taught, what we're going to learn from the way Jesus did it this morning, everything I learned is completely the opposite of what Jesus did. Everything you learn about and how to share the gospel with people, it's completely different than what Jesus did. I think it's important for us to learn from the way Jesus did it today. And so if you're able, let's stand together. Matthew chapter 19, beginning at verse 16. Matthew 19 and verse 16. And the Word of God says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege we have to study it today. I pray, Lord, that you would convict our hearts. And Lord, if there's a man or a woman, a boy or a girl in the service today who has never trusted Christ as their Savior, I pray this morning be the day they would repent of their sin, believe on you, and receive the gift of eternal life. And for all who are here today who are saved, I pray you do a work in our hearts to help us be a greater witness for you, Lord. Please help me now from nothing without you. May your will be done in all of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I read a story about a man who had gone many years ago to Australia and had been very successful in the gold mining there. He had amassed a lot of gold and had melted that gold down and put it into bars, and basically he was ready to travel back home and by ship, and he had a belt that was loaded down with gold. Well, as the ship was leaving Australia, they encountered a storm, and some lives were lost in the midst of the storm, and the ship was damaged. The lifeboats were lost, and the ship had sprung a leak and was going to sink at any time. And so they had come near to land, and the man thought he was strong enough. They had seen an island, and he thought he was strong enough. He was going to jump into the water and swim to shore. But at about the time he was about to jump in, he felt somebody tug him, and a little girl whose mother had died in the storm was grabbing onto his arm, and she said, "Please, mister, save me." And so the man looked down at the belt of gold, and he looked at the little girl. He looked at the belt of gold, and he looked at the little girl, and he threw the belt of gold off, put the little girl on his back, and jumped into the water. You know, you think about that story, and I think about how I hope it wouldn't be a hard decision for anybody. Am I going to save my gold, or am I going to save this little girl's life? I'd like to believe that anybody in this room would make that decision. But you know, sometimes it seems like we have some things in our life that come between us trying to take care of what we want, the things that we really love, like money and things, or making the decision to invest our time in the saving of souls. Now, don't misunderstand me today. I know you can't save anybody. I can't save anybody. Jesus is the one who saves. But God has called us to be a witness. We don't save anybody, but we share the gospel. We sow the seed. We water that seed, and God gives the increase. But God won't give the increase unless you and I plant the seed. And so we are involved with this thing of soul winning. We are involved with this business of bringing others to Christ. And so we are in the business of saving souls. Not that we do the saving, but Christ does. But we have to make a choice many times what we're going to do. A man named Samuel Chadwick once said, "The Holy Ghost cannot conquer the world with unbelief, nor can he save the world with a worldly church. He calls for a crusade, a campaign, and an adventure of saving passion. For with this enterprise, he wants a separated, sanctified, and sacrificial people." And if we're going to be witnesses of Jesus Christ, we got to be separated from the things of the world. We've got to have a passion for the things of God. We've got to be sanctified and set apart for his work. And we have got to be sacrificial. We've got to be willing to give of our time and our talents and our efforts to bring others to Jesus Christ. And I'm just here to tell you, in the time that I've been saved, every time we are faced with an opportunity to go soul winning, whether it's witnessing to somebody just in your day-to-day routine, or whether it's an organized outreach event at the church, you have a choice to make. You're going to have to give something up in order to give your effort to the saving of souls. And we need to make the right choice. Are we going to hold on to our belt of gold, or are we going to latch on to the little girl and do all that we can to see her saved? So we look to our text this morning, and what an incredible text. And look at it with me now as we get into the message. If you want to take notes, there's a place in your bulletin for that. But notice, first of all, the confusion of works. In verse 16, "Behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And in Mark's account of this same event, he says, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And so We get from the story the picture of this young man, but he was a young man. He was a wealthy young man, and he was a wealthy young man who was a ruler. He had a position of power. And so this get this picture in your mind. This guy's got it all. I mean, he's young. He's likely healthy. He's got money. He's got power and influence. I mean, this guy's got the American dream, and he's not even American. It's good, right? I mean, everything's going for this guy, except that with all the money, with all the power, with his health and his youth, he still realizes that he's missing something. I've got it all, but I don't have it all. If some people in the world today could just get that. Just because you, by the world standards, have it all, you don't have it all if you don't have Jesus. And he said, I'm missing something. I don't have life. And in the midst of Jesus' ministry, he had heard about this man, this Jesus, who was a great teacher, who had great power and was able to do great miracles. And he had heard about the preaching of Jesus. He had heard about the work of Jesus. And it caused him, when he heard Jesus was near, he came running to the Lord. He kneeled down before him and he said, good master, means teacher, rabbi, what must I do to have eternal life? He said, Listen, I've got a lot of stuff going for me, but I want to live forever. I don't know about you. I'd like to have a lot of money. Maybe that's not a good thing for a pastor to say, but I kind of like to have a lot of money. I kind of like to have, you want to have power. You want to have possessions. You want to have that influence. But listen, I don't want any of that if I got to give up my soul. I'd rather have Jesus. And so, but this young man knew something was missing, so he comes and runs. But notice the confusion of works. He said, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He had this idea in his mind that I've got all this stuff, but there's something I know. I need to do something so I can have eternal life. Aren't you glad there's not confusion about that today? I want to tell you, friend, every religion in the world has this idea of what you must do to be saved. There's a list of do's and do nots. If you do this and this and this, and you don't do this or this or this, then you can earn your way into heaven. And that's the idea this young man had. The problem is the way to eternal life has nothing to do with what you do. This book, the Holy Bible, the Word of God, the God's plan of salvation that's found in this book is not about what we do. It's about what Jesus Christ has done. It's already done. That's why when Jesus was dying for my sin and yours, he said, it is finished. It's paid in full. It's done. And the way to eternal life is not through what we do. Now, I just want you to get this. It's not by what we do. Galatians 3. Verses 21 and 22. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. In Titus 3 and verse 5, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. In Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, many of you know these verses. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This young man said, what do I need to do? But the Word of God tells us it's not about what we do. It's not about our works. Now, Jesus has an advantage in soul winning, personal evangelism, because he can see people's hearts. That's a pretty good advantage. He knows their hearts. He knows their minds. You and I don't have that advantage, but I want you to get this. This young man comes running to Jesus, and the young man says, what must I do to have eternal life? And if somebody came up to me, by the way, that's never happened, but I'm waiting. I'm waiting for somebody to run up and say, hey, Brother Isaac, what do I have to do to have eternal life? I'm waiting. It happened a couple of times in the Bible, so it could happen, right?
Amen.
So if somebody runs up to me and says, what must I do to have eternal life? I'm going to say, listen, you need to. ABC. You need to admit that you're a sinner. You need to believe on Jesus. You need to call on the Lord. I'm going to say you need to repent of your sin. You need to believe. You need to call on the Lord in prayer. My answer is going to be to give them this very simple, very clear-cut gospel the best I can.
Amen.
But what does Jesus say? Verse 17. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. What? I don't know about you, but I remember the first time I read this passage of Scripture, and it messed me up. Hold on, wait a second, because I know, I've studied my whole life, I know that you don't get saved by keeping the commandments. Amen. I know that. Amen. Do you know that today?
Amen.
We just read, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy He saved us. I know you don't get saved by keeping the commandments. You know you don't get saved by keeping the commandments. Jesus knows that people don't get saved by keeping the commandments. But Jesus says to him, keep the commandments. Amen. I would never say that to somebody in witnessing. What do I need to do to get saved? You need to keep the commandments. I would never say that to somebody. I might ask them if they've kept the commandments, but I would never say, just keep the commandments. But that's what see, Jesus doesn't do it the way I would do it. Maybe there's something wrong with the way I do it. Look at it. First of all, I want you to get what he said in verse 17. Why do you call me good? There's nobody that's good but God. Do you think there might have been a little bit something there that Jesus is trying to point right here to himself? You think I'm good? He wants this young man to figure out who he is.
Amen.
See, Jesus was good.
Amen.
Because he's God.
Amen.
But there's nobody good but God. So he tells the young man, keep the commandments. Here's this rich young man. He's got power. He's got possessions. And he says to Jesus, okay, which ones? And Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I know we do this a lot, but let's just have a little test this morning. Because this young man says, oh, I've done all that since I was a kid. How many of you have kept all of those since you were a kid? How many of you have murdered somebody? Any murderers here today? Okay. How many of you have ever hated somebody? Yeah. See, Jesus said if you hate, you're a murderer in your heart. He says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Say, well, I've never cheated on my spouse. That's great. But Jesus said if you look with lust, you've committed adultery already in your heart.
Amen.
What about stealing? Anybody? Have any of you ever stolen anything? See, look at all the honest people. So proud of you. And now everybody look around and keep a closer watch on your stuff. Everybody, people are scooting their purses a little closer. Yeah. It's amazing because I usually lead with, have you ever told any lies? Because everybody will admit that, oh yeah, everybody's told lies. But usually I follow that up with, have you ever stolen anything? It's amazing to me how many people will not admit that they've stolen something. I'm like, you just told me you're a liar. I know you have. Come on. I don't know a person on the planet that hasn't told a lie. I don't know a person on the planet that hasn't stolen anything. And the people who've told me they haven't, I don't believe them. And maybe that's you today. I've never stolen. Preacher, I'm telling you, I never took anything. You've never taken anything that belonged to somebody else, regardless of it? Come on. But if you have it, praise God. That's good. You just put yourself right over here with this rich young man. Because he said, listen, I've kept all that. How many have always honored your mother and your father? Wait, quit looking at your kids for crying out loud. That's terrible. You, Sister Kathy's sitting by her only son, and she is laughing her head off right now. Not a chance. I'm glad my mom's not here. You don't be going back and talking about this message either. Got some visitors from Landmark here today. I got to be careful what I say about my mom in this message. He sums it all up with this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The 10th commandment is thou shalt not covet. But you know that loving your neighbor takes care of all of it, right?
Amen.
If you really love your neighbor, you're probably not going to murder him.
Amen.
Not going to steal from him. not going to commit adultery with his wife. You're not going to do all these things to the man. So if you just love, that takes care of it all. And the young man says, all these have I kept from my youth up. I have been witnessing to people just long enough to figure this out. If you try to go through the commandments with somebody and they tell you they've never lied or stolen or blasphemed or they've never done anything wrong, they're not ready to hear the gospel. They're not. So I thought everybody needs to hear the gospel. You can tell them, but it's not going to do them any good. And that's where this young man was. I haven't broken any of those. I'm good. You see, I read just a minute ago, Galatians 3:21. Listen to it again. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. And in verse 24 he says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And if you'll take an honest look at the word of God, and you look at the law, which is a mirror to show us our unrighteousness, you look at it and you say, I'm guilty. I have violated, I am guilty before God. I don't measure up to a standard. This young man wasn't there. He said, he looked at the law and said, I'm good. I'm good. And so Jesus gives him the law, and the law is supposed to be a schoolmaster to show us that we need Christ.
Amen.
He gives him the impossible task. Keep the commandments. A reasonable person would look at that and say, I can't. I can't. I've been saved, I told you, since I was 14 years old, and I'd be ashamed for you to know the sins I've committed since I got saved. I can't keep his, even with the Holy Spirit of God living inside of me, the Word of God to be my guide, an open door to the throne room of God through prayer, I still sin. We can't keep the commandments. We can't do it. So he gives the confrontation of the commandments. And then you see the contemplation of a choice. Look at verse 21. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect. Now, we'll stop there. I want to make sure you understand. The word perfect in your Bible means mature or complete or full. It doesn't mean without sin. It just means if you want to be complete, if you want to have it all, if you want to get to what you ought to be, then do this. Go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Now, Jesus didn't say, if you go sell all your money and give all your stuff, sell all your stuff and give all your money away, then you'll have eternal life. He said, no, you'll have treasure. You'll have reward. But you see that? You'll have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. Now, here's where Jesus gets down to it. The young man says, oh, I've kept all the commandments, but Jesus could see in his heart. He didn't want to admit he hadn't kept the commandments, but there was one thing that Jesus knew. He knew that it would get him. He knew this one thing. You see, I believe that every one of us have a one thing. Yeah, we've all got sin, we've all got stuff. Some people get hung up on drugs or alcohol. Some people get caught up on whatever, however you want to say it, sexual sin. Some people get caught up on money. I think everybody has a one thing.
Amen.
Jesus knew this man's one thing.
Amen.
And so what does he do? He gets that one thing. You want to be perfect? You want to be complete? Just go sell all your stuff. Give it away to the poor and follow me. But when the young man, verse 22, heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. See, Jesus confronted the young man with a choice. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 21, I want you to get this too, because in Mark's account, he says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Now, Jesus wasn't trying to be mean to the young man. Jesus wasn't trying to be hateful to the young man. It wasn't like Jesus picked out his one thing because he knew it would drive him away. Jesus picked out his one thing because he loved him.
Amen.
And he's trying to get the young man to understand, you need to stop loving other stuff. If you want to have eternal life, you need to follow me. Now, I don't know that Jesus wants everybody in here to sell your stuff and give it away. I don't think that's the point of the message. I think that everybody in this room ought to be willing to sell all your stuff and give it away. I think that we've got to come to a place where we realize all the stuff that we love, all the stuff that trips us up, our one thing is not worth our soul.
Amen.
What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world yet lose his own soul?
Amen.
We've got to come to a place where we realize what we are offered in Christ is life everlasting, and all he wants us to do is repent and believe. But we ought to be willing to give everything up to follow him.
Amen.
You see, I want to confess to you that a lot of times when I've been trying to witness to somebody, in the middle of it, I start to feel a little bit like a salesman. That's the way we're taught. We want to upsell this thing, man. We want to make, hey, listen, you just say this little prayer and you get eternal life and everything's going to be great. But when you listen to the preaching of Jesus, he didn't do that. He said, listen, you're going to follow me. The world's going to hate you. They're going to come after you. They're going to want to destroy you. You're not going to have any friends in this world anymore if you follow me. He didn't try to hide anything. He didn't try to use like a bait and switch type thing. No, he told the whole thing. Listen, if you want to follow me, you need to be willing to give everything up to follow me, because that may be what you have to do. You think? I think that a lot of preachers, somewhere along the way, we got scared of the truth of the message of the gospel, and we want to fill up our churches so we don't want to tell all the bad stuff. I want to tell you something, friend. Following Christ is going to cost you. And it's worth all the cost.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul gave everything up to follow Jesus. He said, I counted it all but dung. He says nothing. The Apostle Paul, he had power. He had prestige. He had possessions. And when he met Jesus, he said, I don't care about any of that. I want to follow Jesus. That's what discipleship really is. And that's what really the gospel is. Yeah, he paid it all. And yes, you can have everlasting life and it costs you nothing. But when you follow Christ, if you've been truly born again, you want to follow Christ, and you're willing to do that no matter what the cost.
Amen.
Jesus, beholding him, loved him and told him about his one thing. You see, the point of all of this message is this great example. We need to understand. I did learn one thing in an evangelism course one time that's really helped me, and it was this. Law to the proud, grace to the humble. Somebody that's prideful, they need the law to show them they need Jesus.
Amen.
Sometimes you talk to somebody and they're broken. And you don't need to beat them up with the law. They're already broken. They know they're a sinner and they need the grace.
Amen.
That's what Jude said. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. That making a difference means you make a distinction. You need to understand. Some people, you need to have compassion. They're broken. They understand that they're nothing and they need the grace of Jesus Christ. Other people, they're not broken. They need to be warned of the danger of hell.
Amen.
They need to be broken. And we need to understand the difference. Well, how do you know? I mean, we can't look in somebody's heart. How do you know? Well, I'll tell you how. We are led by the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
You see, this man came, fell down, said, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus gave him the commandments. But in Acts chapter 16, we see another man come in before some men and ask a similar question. In Acts 16 and verse 29, the jailer called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You remember? At midnight, Paul and Silas, they'd been beaten and thrown in the inner part of the prison. At midnight, they prayed and sang praises to God. The Holy Spirit moved. The doors were open. Everybody's chains fell off. The jailer got woke up, and he sees the doors open. He's like, they're all gone. I'm going to be killed. I might as well just beat him to the punch. He's going to kill himself. But then Paul cries out and says, do thyself no harm. We're all here. And so he comes and he falls down and he's trembling. And he says, what must I do to be saved? You ever wonder what Paul and Silas were singing? Must have been a good gospel song. Somehow he knew that these guys knew something about eternal life. They knew something about how to be saved, because he comes to them and says, what do I got to do to be saved? But what did Paul answer? Did he give him the commandments? No. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen. You see, the Holy Spirit of God was working in Paul's heart. He knew a little bit of something. The fact that the man came down and was trembling. He was ready to kill himself. This man was broken. He needed grace. I'm not going to pretend to always have the right answer. Sometimes maybe I give the law to somebody who needs grace, and maybe sometimes I give grace to somebody who needs the law. I'm pretty dumb, so I just try to give everybody both. Just cover all my bases. I'm going to start with the law. I'm going to give you the grace too. You've heard it said many times, you got to get somebody lost before you can get them saved. But people are already lost. What it means is you've got to help them realize that they're lost. And we've got to come at this thing, I believe with all my heart, we've got to make them realize their need for a Savior. That's what the commandments do for us in our witness. When you start confronting somebody with their sin, I really don't know the very, very best way to be a soul winner. I've been through all these things, evangelism, explosion. I've read The Soul Winner by Charles Spurgeon. I've been through personal evangelism courses. I've been through the Way of the Master course. I've been through all these different things. And I tell you what, the best way to witness is to take the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit and tell other people. Amen. And it's not, there's no like follow this formula, 1, 2, 3, and you can get everybody saved. It doesn't work like that. Everybody's different. That's when we got to make a difference. Amen. Somebody told D.L. Moody one time that they didn't like the way that he did evangelism. And Moody's response was, you know, I really don't like the way I do it either. How do you do it? And the man said, well, I don't. And so Moody said, well, I prefer the way I do it to the way you don't do it. It's not really who's got the best method or whatever. What it is are we doing it? Are we, we've got all these great tools. We've got all these gospel tracts. By the way, the table's full of Easter gospel tracts. Those are not there to look pretty on the table. Those are there for you to take with you. They're not there for you to take with you and leave in your vehicle. They're there for you to take with you and to give to other people. Amen? Amen. Yeah, because if you're like me, at the end of an event like Easter, you still have a stack of tracks in your truck and you go, oh man, that's not good. No, they're there to give out. And so we've got these great tools like gospel tracts or whatever, but whatever we do, we just need to do it. There was a man, pastor, in his hometown. He'd been in that town for a long time. He walked by a department store. He'd done a lot of business there, but he got convicted that day about the store owner, and he just felt prompted by the Spirit to go in. So he went in, and he said, you know, I've done a lot of business here. I bought a lot of stuff from you, but I've never talked to you about your soul. And so the owner said, well, come on. And they went back into the back office, and the pastor shared the gospel with the man. And as he began to go through the gospel, tears started streaming down his eyes. And he said, I'm 70 years old. I was born in this city. More than 100 ministers and more than 500 church officers have known me, as you have, to do business with. But in all these years, you are the only one who ever spoke to me about my soul. I want you to think about all the people that you know in this town. People you do business with. People that you're friends with. People that you've known your whole life. Think about for a second all the people that you know that you have never talked to them about their soul. You got neighbors. You got family members. You got coworkers or friends or classmates. There, if you sat down and made a list of the people that you know that you've never talked to about their soul, I think you'd be shocked at how long the list would be.
Amen.
Sometimes we make an assumption. I heard about a guy named, what was his name? I think his name was Moses. And somebody thought, I'm going to witness to him. He's probably already saved because his name's Moses. That's not really good logic. The young man wasn't saved. He'd never been in church in his whole life. I'm telling you, people are nice people. People seem to be like good people. People like this young man seem to have it all going for him, but he didn't know Jesus. And just because we live in the Bible Belt and a lot of people go to church doesn't mean they know Jesus. We need to be witnesses for him. I just want to challenge you with two things today. If you don't know 100% for sure when this life's over, you're going to spend eternity in heaven, you need to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior today.
Amen.
You need to understand that you've violated the commandments of God, that you have no hope of entering into eternal life on your own.
Amen.
There is no good thing that you can do to earn your way there. But Jesus Christ paid your price on Calvary, and he will give eternal life to all who repent and believe. But we must repent and we must believe. If you have received that gift of eternal life, if you know the Lord as your Savior, I want to challenge you today that you'd be a greater witness for him. You'd seek those opportunities to tell everybody you can. And if you're like me and there's people in your life you should have witnessed to a long time ago and you haven't done it, you just go to them and say, I should have talked to you about this a long time ago. I'm sorry I didn't, but there's just something I got to ask. And you share the gospel with them. Whatever it is, we need to let them know. At this time, I'm going to ask that you stand with me. We're going to get ready for an invitation. And if the Holy Spirit of God's moving in your heart today, I hope you'll come. I told you about the man on the ship with his belt of gold. The little girl said, please, mister, save me. And he looked at that belt of gold, and he looked at the little girl. And he looked at the belt of gold, and he looked at the little girl, and he took the belt of gold off and threw it aside. He put the little girl on his back and said, hold on as tight as you can, and he jumped into the water. He struggled through the waves. And with just barely any life left in him, he crawled to shore on that island before he passed out. The next morning, he woke up to the little girl giving him a hug. And she said, thank you so much for saving my life.
Amen.
Hey, listen to me. I've never saved anybody, but God's allowed me to be a part in seeing a lot of people saved. Not nearly enough, but a few. I want to tell you, there's no greater joy than seeing somebody come to Christ because you were a witness to them.
Amen.
No greater joy in this life.
Amen.
I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something. I have never in my life thought, you know, I wish I hadn't taken my time to witness to them. I could have been doing something else. No. It's worth the cost. So let's give of our time. Let's give of our efforts. Let's make a little sacrifice. And let's be greater witnesses for Jesus Christ. Would you come today while we sing?
Page 514.
Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. A decision you need to make for Christ. Would you come?